Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering the show today on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, the 3rd of August, 2015. What a difference a year makes. A year ago, pretty much flooded out on this day. And the reason I remember that, in the almost 5 years I've been doing this show, I couldn't get out of our house to get to the radio station. I had to do the show over the phone. So it was really bad. There was like a huge log in, across the road on River Road. And so I just went back and did
the show. It's called River Road for a reason.
There you go. I was on the. I was doing the thing on the phone. So
I was going to be your guest.
You were. And you made it to the station because you have a very high, Bob Westerman talking there. Bob, you have a very high clearance truck. So you got. So you were able, without any problems, to get into the station. But anyway, so now the monsoon taking a break. It's dry. Going to be about 107. So, you know, on and on. Buckmaster coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Couple of choices for you there. And you can, on my website, buckmastershow.com, you can always catch all of our programs, have them on podcast. We begin with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30. We'll talk with General John Wickham, the former chief of staff of the Army. General Wickham usually joins us the first Monday of a new month. The live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. And as I put out on Facebook yesterday, promoting today's face-off, I said, would love to hear from listeners about how they feel about Donald Trump sucking all the energy, it seems, out of the Republican candidates. I mean, how does a candidate regain traction against Trump? And that's what we're going to explore with Bob Westerman is here. Bob is now a small business owner. He's the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party, also a former legislative candidate, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chairman of the state and the local Pima County Democratic Party. Bob and Paul, how are you gentlemen today?
Doing great.
Doing great.
It's hot and humid, though, today.
It is. humidity level kind of going down a little bit. There's no chance of rain, apparently, for the next couple of days. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. They're on Facebook, of course, and they have a great website, moesgallery.com. Bob, let's begin with you. We've got the highly anticipated first. I'm not sure how many Republican presidential debates there are going to be this time around, but the first one's coming up right Thursday night, right?
First national debate. As a matter of fact, tonight there's a Republican debate in New Hampshire today, and there are going to be 14 of the 17 showing up there.
So the candidates and their advisors, Bob Westerman, are kind of fixated, you might say, on a single question: how to contain Donald Trump. He, all the energy that he brings to this campaign is sucking the air out of the rest of the candidates.
Well, you know, it's just not the Republican candidates fixated on Donald Trump, but apparently the media is too, because they're certainly giving him a lot of airtime and a lot of opportunity to get out there. But when I ran for office as a candidate, the first thing they tell you is, you know, you have to have a name and money, okay? And in the case of Donald Trump, he's got both coming right off the bat. Mm-hmm. That immediately puts him a little bit of a higher blip than the rest of the guys, and somehow he's got to get above the 17 noise level. To do that, he's got to pump up the amplitude one way or the other. And the way Donald does that, the way Don does everything, is that he's controversial. He's has no trouble speaking his mind on any subject. You know, a lot of proverbial there. He's very, you know, like a strong individual. And I think that has caught a lot of people's attention. Certainly a part of the GOP certainly identifies what he's saying and the way he's saying it.
And Paul, after he knocked Senator John McCain, mm-hmm, and his war record, yeah, Trump's polling actually went up a little bit. And some people thought, you know, oh, that's going to really, this is going right. to, this is really going to hurt him. There's this 17 to 25% that I think Trump could say anything. They're not going to leave him.
Yeah, and you know, there's, I think, a number of independents out there. I'm not sure how many Democrats, but Trump's hitting a chord that I think people should take seriously. And that chord is a populist chord of that there's a lot of people out there that feel like the very, very wealthy control the whole political process now. They control the economy. The people that are at the bottom or in the middle class are getting slipping. Because of that, there's a concentration of wealth that's going to the top. And Donald Trump's one of those people, but he seems to talk their language. And he's basically saying, we need jobs back from China. We need, you know, he's hitting a populist chord. Now, some of this stuff, I'm not sure how much he really believes. He, I think, throws it out there to get more media attention. But he does it in such a way that he talks like a regular person would talk. He, like Bob said, he kind of speaks his mind, so people find that very refreshing among politicians. And he basically accuses everybody else as politicians, and he knocked all the politicians who went out to California to be with the Koch brothers to get the millions of dollars the Koch brothers are trying to said that they're going to pump into their candidate, whoever they choose. And he said, well, I'm not participating in that, and I don't need to because I can self-fund my campaign, and I'm going to be for the people instead of for the Koch brothers and all the really rich people out there who I'm one of, because I know how this works. I've given money to candidates, and by doing that, I got access to the candidates. Well, you don't have to worry about that with me. I'm going to just do what I think is best for the people. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's starting to resonate, not yeah. just in the Republican Party. And I would tell my colleagues in the Democratic Party, listen to what Trump is, the chord that Trump is hitting. And I think there's a very, people like Bernie Sanders is hitting a similar chord in the Democratic side. Elizabeth Warren would be one of them. I think she made a mistake not getting into the presidential race because I think she's the best candidate the Democrats could put up because she talks that same language and fights for those people that are feeling disaffected.
Yeah, okay. I mean, jobs is exactly one of the big issues that he's touching on. And, you know, when you look at Donald Trump, the guy has, you know, is worth all this money, has all these businesses. Yeah. He's a builder. Mm-hmm. He actually builds and does things for jobs. I mean, that's what he looks like. That's his brand. And he builds that brand just like that. So if you want, you pointed out, Paul, that jobs is certainly a deal with in the country today. He's looking like he's the only guy that knows what he's doing. Everybody else is just going to get nothing done.
Well, and if you talk that language, that I'm going to get jobs back from China, which I think is more important than his stuff on the immigration. That got him the headlines. But I think that's starting to hit a big chord underlying everything. And so, you know, it's not going to be easy for any candidate.
And he looks tough, right? He sounds tough. He says, well, this guy can go up against China because, you know, he's already taken him on now.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think he's going to be, if he wins the nomination, he's going to be a formidable candidate. If he runs as a third party candidate, he's going to be a formidable candidate against both the Democrat and the Republican nominees. And the parties should really look at what he's saying because it's hitting a chord.
Well, it is hitting a chord with our listeners because we've got pretty much a full board of people who would like to join in our face-off conversation. Let's begin with Matthew. Matthew calling us at 790-2040.
Hey, this is my two cents on this. I think you guys have explained it perfectly, the Mutual Admiration Society there for Donald Trump. And if I was every other person on the panel for the presidential debate on Thursday, and if I was their advisors, I would tell them, start with, I agree with Donald, and let's now, and then just go straight at Jeb Bush. I think Jeb Bush, if he ought to be prepared. If they're smart, every single person up there, the attack should be all on Jeb Bush. And because anything that brings down Jeb Bush's numbers will bring up everybody else's numbers. Donald is somebody they do not want to touch. They do not want to have those people mad at them. I think Jeb Bush is the person to watch to see how much the other candidates come after him, and he just gets wailed on all night. Wow. And just a thought on it. What do you guys think? Bye.
That's interesting. I think that, but the where Donald's getting a lot of his votes from are from, you know, Ted Cruz and you know, some of the more Tea Party and other parts of the party. I think those votes is what Donnie is going after. So essentially right now with Jeb Bush, he's got a pretty much lock on the demographics that is supporting him. So it'd be interesting to see if the candidates actually go after Bush, or they basically go back and they try to get the win back from Donald on the people that support them. You get people back with Rand Paul, get people back with Ted Cruz. They want to get their votes back to them.
Well, and I'll weigh in here. I think that isn't a bad strategy, because Jeb Bush represents kind of a dynasty, kind of the establishment in the country that people are mad at. That goes for Hillary Clinton, too. Hillary's going to have those problems as well on the Democratic side. I would say, and I'll say this straight off, the worst nightmare for the Democratic Party is if John Kasich gets the nomination. Hmm. And I think, because he's talked some of the same language, for example, he was asked a question by a woman criticizing him for the Medicaid expansion program under Obamacare in Ohio. And he said to her, you know, I'll tell you this. When I go to the pearly gates and I'm asked, what did I do for poor people? I have an answer. And that's why I did it. And, you know, he is somebody who's a Republican with a heart, a Republican who cares about people. If he keeps translating that, I think he can blunt some of what Trump is saying and get some of that support.
John does a really good job of explaining why he supports the Medicaid expansion.
Right.
That does you put, Paul. But that also puts him at odds with a lot of people in the party.
I understand.
So I just don't know if he'll be able to pull the kind of votes to get to the nomination.
But if he was their nominee, he'd have a good chance of winning the general election. I believe, and I hope he doesn't get the nomination.
Strategy.
All right, we've still got a couple of calls, but it is our time to take our first break here. So Roger and Terry, just hang on. You'll be up first when we come back on the Monday Political Face-Off.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bob Westerman is here, seated to my right, and Paul Eckerstrom to my left. Roger has been waiting very patiently. Hello, Roger. How are you? Hey, Roger.
I'm doing great. As far as when you get to the pearly gates and you claim that you supported Obamacare so you help the poor, I don't know what God you worship. It's stealing my money and dishing it out to other people. That has no part of my religion. As far as Trump, everybody's talking about him throwing bombs during the debate and stuff. Trump has thrown no bombs. He's retaliated when people throw bombs at him. So if the other candidates poke the bear, Trump's going to strike back. Mm-hmm. And Trump's used to dealing with bullies. So if they try to bully him, he's going to come back at him. And it's going to look like he's the bully because he's going to annihilate.
I think you make a good point there, Roger. And I think you were kind of, Matthew earlier was pretty much saying the same thing. Don't go after Trump in the debate.
No, if you're going to bully a bully, you better be a bigger bully. That's all I can say.
Well, he's been perfectly polite to Ted Cruz. And I hear that what he says is controversial, but it resonates with the American people.
It is.
Well, yeah. Why is it controversial to say what the American people feel? Nobody has stepped up for us. It's all been lies to us by the candidates. They come to us and lie. They get elected, and they don't follow through. We saw that with the recent election of the Republicans.
Okay.
People are furious at Congress right now because they never did their job.
Thanks, Roger.
Yep. You know, I agree in this regard. And Ben Carson is another example. He's doing pretty well in the polls. He's not a politician. Trump is not a politician. Trump basically goes out there, this is what I think. This is what I am. I don't care if you vote for me or not, but this is what I'm saying.
And being an outsider, that's what you could do.
Yeah. And I think it's created – there's a lot of people out there very angry at the powers that be in this country for what their situation. And I think, seriously, people need to focus not on what Trump is doing, but what the connection he's making with the people that are out there supporting him and listening to him. And if the powers that be or the establishment politicians are listening, they'll start to address those issues and policies that would help those people. Otherwise, they're not going to get their vote. And I think it's an underlying thing in the whole country, crosses party lines all the way across. And Trump is, if you don't take it seriously, then you're not a good politician.
The way he confronts other Republicans, though, is different. I mean, he basically, you know, Rick Perry wears glasses because he's trying to look smart. I mean, this is
and
not
I think that's actually
typical.
True.
Well, this is different. I mean, you won't see Dr. Carson doing that. You know, he's an outsider, but he won't play it that way. Carson and other outsiders on the 17, they play more with the rules of engagement that's in there, and you know. Trump, his rules of engagement doesn't include that. Yeah. He makes his own rules of engagement.
Yeah. And I think on the Democratic side, you know, you see Bernie Sanders gaining some traction. I really do believe that Elizabeth Warren, if she's smart, would get in right now because she's the type of candidate that talks that type of language to people who are kind of feel like on the outside looking in terms of our economy. And she is a woman. I think she's a better general election candidate than either Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. And I think, you know, if she got in, she could very well be the Democratic nominee.
All right. Terry is now with us. Terry at 790-2040. Terry, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. You have a very good slate of candidates. No. I want to say this, that going to get citizenship matters, and that what Jeb Bush did this morning while we're all talking about you know, the Empire Man strikes back on the thing tomorrow, all on the 6th, the debate. Citizenship, 11 million in the shadows, and that's proud Hispanics who've been waiting patiently. And look, I blame big time the naturalization immigration policy. We have none, and they need to be updated big time over 25 years. So both Republican, Democrat, and anybody else can take the blame for this, my friends. I want to say this also. Democrats have a choice. They just need to get down to New Mexico and talk to Bill Richardson, a moderate Democrat who sometimes actually get Republican votes. How cool is that? And we have Jim Webb waiting in the wings, somebody to get him from the great state of Virginia.
By the way.
A Democrat but okay. Republican under the Reagan administration.
Yep. All right, Terry, you're right about Jim Webb. And Jim Webb in the domestic policy is talking similar populist messaging, sentencing reform, you know, in the criminal justice system, as well as actually going after, look, we need jobs in this country. We need good jobs for the middle class instead of the middle class slipping. And I think
so
Jim Webb's
the year of the populists. It's shaping up to be a huge populist.
It is. It is, Bill. And I think anybody... Anybody who wants to win should go back to watch Franklin Roosevelt's speeches and Teddy Roosevelt's speeches, both Republican and Democrat. Yeah. And if they use that rhetoric, they have a real chance of winning. And if they follow through with policies, they'll get reelected.
The dynamics have changed. I think the debates coming up Thursday should be very interesting in that respect.
It's almost a Frank Capra, 1939, I believe, the year Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Oh, yeah. That's a good analogy, Bill.
It seems to be that kind of year. So if nothing else, the Republicans are going to have huge ratings.
Don't forget the final note on Donald Trump here is that if anything he does, he wins. I mean, if he doesn't win the nomination, he wins. He walks home with $10 billion. Either way, I mean, the guy has nothing to lose, and that's a very dangerous opponent.
Exactly.
You know, we're talking about the year of the populace. This might not be the best time for Hillary.
No, I'm seeing it in her negative ratings.
Yeah.
And she's an establishment candidate. Well, and I think, I think Elizabeth Warren, if she got in, would be the nominee. And she would, I don't know, on the Republican side, I could see, you know, somebody like a Carson or a Trump winning it. But whoever of the more established, I think John Kasich would be the guy.
He's interesting.
If he caught on to this, and he's already kind of caught on.
He's
got
to be able to defend himself with some other issues, but he's a very good governor. He's done some great things for Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have time to talk about the Iran deal. I know both of you gentlemen have opposing views on that. We've got about 2 minutes, Bob. No deal. Well, let's put it this way. You go ahead and say why this deal shouldn't go through.
It's not a deal. First of all, the whole purpose of going down there, having these negotiations, was to make sure that Iran did not have nuclear weapons capability. And it shouldn't be based on any time limit. It shouldn't be based on any other criteria. It should be immediate and open inspections from day one. That should have been what should have been negotiated. We didn't get that at all. We didn't really get a deal.
I disagree. I think we have the strongest verification we've ever had in any arms deal ever. whether it was Soviet Union or anybody else. And let me tell you something. The alternative is war, and it's not just bombing
it's not the
them. No, that is the alternative.
The alternative is
if you have a good deal.
All
right, there's two alternatives. One, you let Iran get the bomb by not signing this deal, or we go to war.
You get a better deal.
And Bob, it's not just bombing them, because that only delays it for a couple of years of them getting the bomb.
No, you don't Bob says go back for a better deal. It's boots on the ground, and
I don't think we want
you don't send
to do
Mr. Rogers over to negotiate with Mr. T. I mean, it doesn't work that way. This guy got nothing for his negotiations.
I disagree with that.
But give Iran a lot more time. And if you read you're a lawyer, you should read that agreement. There are so many loopholes in that agreement, it's insane. You can delay inspection of that facility forever under that agreement.
I don't agree with that.
So, Bob, you're saying go back, get a better deal.
Well, the alternative
is saying
just,
there's no deal
it
really.
It's just
to
war
get...
or this deal. Mm-hmm. This deal is being shoved down our throats. You can go back and negotiate a much better deal. You need to be able to take the Iranians and make them allow an immediate inspection of facility. They can stop it tomorrow.
We
can't do that.
We can't do that because our allies are already signed on board. If we don't go along with it, they're not going to do economic sanctions anymore.
They're lifting them anyway.
They're lifting them anyway.
So we give them $150 billion to go build up their military.
That's going to happen anyway with European allies and the Soviets,
the Russians and the Chinese.
Remove
the sanctions, give it to them. Those
allies are already going to lift the sanctions. If they're not with us on the sanctions, our sanctions aren't going to do anything. So this is it.
They've got to do something that because this deal only guarantees in 8 years they're going to have ICBMs, and in about 15 years guaranteed they're going to have nuclear capability.
Well,
and you know the agreement does not stop them from developing nuclear power weapons.
All right, Bob Westerman. We're going to have to run. Bob Westerman, thank you very much for coming in.
Yes.
Very much appreciated. And Paul Eckerstrom, as usual, thank you very much for your support. You seem to be getting a lot better. You had the knee and the hip, both on the right...
Left side. Yeah.
But you seem to be getting around a little better.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff to have done.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. But anyway, he's getting better, and that's the good news. We're going to take our break here, our mid-show break at 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham will join us. That's coming up right after we hear from some great sponsors of our show, right after this.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Well, 12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com for sponsoring the first portion, the first half hour of our Monday show with our Monday political face-off. We welcome now General John Wickham, retired U.S. Army former chief of staff, actually appointed by Ronald Reagan as the 33rd United States Army Chief of Staff. Just prior to that position, he commanded all American and UN forces in Korea. He wrote the book Korea on the Brink about the challenges, some of the challenges he was facing. He also served on the Secretary of Defense Policy Board and was vice chairman of the U.S.-China National Committee. He served two combat tours in Vietnam, was seriously wounded on the first tour, where he earned two Silver Stars, a Bronze Star for Valor, and a Purple Heart. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in uniform, retired now, living with his lovely wife, Anne, in Oro Valley. General Wickham, how are you?
Fine, Bill. Thanks for that long introduction. I'm delighted to be on your wonderful program.
Well, sometimes I do the shortened version, but every so often you certainly deserve the longer version. I'm going to go right to the live line, General, because our friend Jim Kelly would like to ask a question right off the bat. I think this is about Turkey and the situation with the Kurds. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hi. Good afternoon, General. It's good to talk to you again. I've been following this issue with Turkey and the Kurds, and I have a real heartache over abandoning the Kurds again just to keep Turkey on our side. And I just don't think Erdogan is a good player for our interests over there. And I wanted to know what you think about that.
That's an awfully good question, Jim. A very complicated situation in Turkey and the Middle East. The Kurds in different countries, in Turkey and in Syria and in Iraq, they want to have a Kurdistan, a separate nation. And that has been one of the difficulties that Turkey has faced, is the resistance movement from so-called PKK party in Turkey to try to break away from Turkey and form part of this Kurdistan nation. And so there's been resistance inside Turkey, and the government has tried to keep the country unified. The PKK has been attacking Turkish military and killing people inside of Turkey. So there's a big problem with the PKK inside of Turkey. Now, you're exactly right. The Kurds are terrific fighters. They've been very helpful in Iraq and with the U.S. working with them to deal with the Islamic State. And we need to continue to do that. But Turkey has now allowed us to use Incirlik, their big air base, to attack the ISS in Syria and in Iraq, and that's going to be helpful. But we need to work with Erdogan government to be sure that they do not overdo their attacking of the PKK Kurdish element. They're not unified as Kurds. They're separatists and Kurds. But Turkey does have a serious internal problem.
And the Kurds and Turkey, General, they've been going at it for a long time, haven't they?
Oh, you're exactly right, Billy. Decades. And there's been a ceasefire between the Erdogan government in Turkey and the PKK, that's that Kurdish element in Turkey. And that's been broken now, but that ceasefire has gone on for a long time. The reality is, as I mentioned, the PKK wants to break away from Turkey, and Erdogan is not going to allow that to happen, nor should he. You need to keep Turkey as a unified country, as part of NATO, a valuable player in the Middle East situation.
All right. Jim Kelly had called us at 790-2040, and we are open to take any other calls that want to come in for General Wickham. General Wickham, something caught my eye this morning in the news, and I just had to share it with you because on the surface it seems like it could be quite a concern. I'm talking about the enlistments so far in 2015, enlistments into the U.S. Army quite a bit down. In fact, if things don't improve, this would be the lowest enlistment year in 20 years for the U.S. Army. General, what's going on?
That's not unusual. I've experienced that in the past. It comes and goes. Part of it is economics. Part of it is if the jobs are available in civil life, the Army's competing to get recruits to come into the Army. Number two, all of the uproar from Congress about VA benefits and about changing the retirement and payment system and entitlements or benefits for troops, such as housing allowance, that kind of thing, raises some questions in young minds. Do I really want to join an organization that is sort of changing the rules? And I think that's part of it. The Congress is partly to blame for this, and the fact that the Congress has been reluctant to fund adequately the VA and to fulfill the funding of the Department of Defense through the problems of sequestration has caused some difficulties. As you know, the Army is cutting back some 20,000 or more troops to a very low level. The Army now is half the size of the Army when I was head of it. I don't think we should go lower, but it's forced on us by the inaction of Congress.
Well, yeah, you bring up this the strength of the Army, as you say, the strength being reduced by 20,000. This is kind of worrisome to me and a lot of other people, General. As you say, we're kind of at a bottom level here. We really shouldn't go any lower, but do we have the strength at this particular level? Are you comfortable where it is right now, sir?
Yes, we are. We have the strongest army in the world, the best equipped army in the world. And having had to run the army and been a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the leaders are faced with the reality of limited income, and therefore you have to make some tough choices. We need to modernize. We've got to get newer equipment. We've got to repair older equipment. We've probably got $30 billion worth of repairs on equipment that has been damaged in the last decade of wars. And they've got to repair some of that. Congress has not fessed up to the reality of helping without that. Look at another illustration, just quite aside from the military. Look at the horrible condition of our roads in this country, the infrastructure. The worst it's ever been. We used to be number one in infrastructure. Now we're 26th in the world. And why the Congress is unwilling to put money into the trust fund for highways, which is jobs and stimulating the economy, is mindless to me. But it's partisan politics, and I'm really saddened to see that. So the service chiefs have got to make some tough choices between readiness and modernization, and half of the dollar in defense and in the Army is personnel cost. So if you're going to make some effort to modernize and to maintain readiness, you have to cut back on the people. And that's what the Army's doing. The tragedy, as you point out, Bill, is we're getting rid of some trained and battle-tested young people who should stay in the military and who wanted to stay in the military.
All right. Why don't we take the break here before we change subjects? I believe we have a caller who wanted to get into the Iran deal, but I think it merits more than just about a minute and a half before the break here. So if the caller will hold on through our break, General Wickham will hold on, and we'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us for a newsmaker interview with State Senator Kelly Ward. Senator Ward is challenging U.S. Senator John McCain in the Republican primary election. Also, the monthly Your Meds segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Going to be a very hot week here in Southern Arizona, so if you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, may I suggest Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. The mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and there is no shortage of great places to stay as well, like Georgetown Cabins and Continental Divide RV Park. You can find out more by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go back now to the live line. General John Wickham is with us, and we also have a caller. I believe it's a Jim on the live line. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Good afternoon to you guys.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
I had a question. I've noticed lately on social media, a lot of people are posting things that say the Iran deal is good because it's the only alternative to the Republicans who want war. Now, I've tried, and I can't find a single Republican or Democrat, for that matter, who's actually advocating for war with Iran. Is my assessment correct, or is there something I'm missing?
No, you're not missing anything, Jim. We're unfortunately going to be bedeviled for a year with a lot of partisan rhetoric about the Iran deal. Now, I can understand why some people believe that the nuclear deal with Iran is bad. Israel, of course, suffers mightily from Iran. The attitude is, let's get rid of Israel, destroy it, and you can understand why Israel is concerned about Iran. Iran is playing a rogue nation role in the Middle East, in Yemen and in Syria, supporting Assad, for example. So we've got problems with Iran in multiple ways. On the other hand, the nuclear deal is good for the world. It has at least stopped Iran from acquiring a weapon for perhaps a dozen or more years and put in place some very intrusive inspections. There was a meeting just yesterday of the Gulf states in the Middle East, and they all support the nuclear deal, including Saudi Arabia. So their wise nations have come to realize that this is a smart initiative. Absent the nuclear deal with Iran, sanctions will fail eventually. Other nations will walk away from them because they want economic deals with Iran. And without sanctions, Iran then is free to do what it wants to do economically. And without any intrusive inspections by the United Nations, Iran is back to its nuclear activity, whatever it wants to do in secret or in open. So I think it's foolhardy for us to sort of throw it up. The nuclear deal is not perfect. No diplomatic solution is perfect. The deal with Russia to start one, start two, and start three to cut down on nuclear weapons was not perfect. But look what it has done. The deal with China, look what it has done to open up Asia to the United States. This is an opportunity. We must make use of it. It is smart.
All right, let's go to the live line. Jack has another question about Iran. Go ahead, Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Thank you, General, for taking my question. I wondered, has there ever been any time that we have been able to trust Iran to fulfill their part of any bargain we've made with
them? Probably not. Has there ever been a time when we...
Why would we take their past record and say they're going to start giving us all this inspection time when we don't? When we have to give them, what, a month leeway before we go in and inspect anything?
Well, you raise some very good questions. It's not perfect, but the requirement is...
You and for the listeners, that I think it's an absolute farce. But I'll let you go on to the next one, and thank you for being here and answering questions.
Okay, and I think Jack brings up this point, General Wickham. The people are very, very upset about the lead time, I think it is, on the inspections.
Yeah, one of the problems, is you're right, it's a couple of weeks. It could spend into a month. However, I know something about nuclear energy, having been certified in the military to deal with it. Any movement of nuclear materials, uranium or plutonium, leaves a trace element of radiation that endures for months. So if they're moving stuff around or doing stuff and we get there 2 weeks or a month later, we can still be detected. They can't cover that up. It gets into everything. And it leaves a residue of radiation. So it can be detected. And number two, the fact is that Iran is a sovereign nation. And for us to insist, the Western nations to insist, we're going to be able to march all over your country anytime we want, wherever we want, whether you like it or not, that dog wouldn't hunt. Nor would the United States accept something like that in America, nor with the Chinese, nor with the Russians. But it has worked. Look what we have been able to do with the Russians. They used to have 50,000 nuclear weapons, and now they're down to less than 1,000 because of the nuclear deal with Russia. So it has worked out. Did we trust Russia? Yes. But we verified, as Reagan said, trust but verify. And I think we can trust but verify with Iran. Is Iran totally distrustworthy? Perhaps one can argue yes. But I'm willing to put up with the diplomacy for the benefit of the world's safety and the United States' safety.
All right, General, I want to switch topics here. This is this dismissal of a United States Marine Corps female battalion commander has really raised a furor over opportunities for women in the military services.
It has, Bill. The Marine Corps is unique in the services. They separate women from men in basic training. The other services integrate them in integrated units. But the Marine Corps has done that, and they're not going to change. The Marine Corps has been reluctant to bring women into the service and to give them increasing responsibilities. I remember when I was Army Chief and trying to open up more occupational specialties to women, once you open them up, if you're going to let women go into the artillery or into aviation or into the engineers, it's easy to say, well, let's do that. But then you have to be sure that there are opportunities for promotion, command, billets, that kind of thing. You have to open up a career opportunity. And that's been very difficult. And I think this woman battalion commander is pointing out, I've read the articles that she's written, I think she's written some wisdom there, that she's saying the Marine Corps has lowered the standards for women. Women want higher standards to achieve. They want to be as close to the men as they can in terms of achievement. And the Marine Corps should open that opportunity up. I think she's on track to do that. I've got a granddaughter in the Army, and I see from her perspective there is still a glass ceiling for women in the military. It's a culture, and we're going to have to change that culture. The military is a man's business, and during the last decade, we've had a warrior ethos, and in order to be a good warrior, the old myth used to be, you have to be a two-fisted drinker, a womanizer, and profane. I don't believe that. I tried to get rid of it in the Army when I was head of it, but it's back, and this gets in the way of achievement for women, so there's always going to be abuse of opportunity for women.
Do you think the Israeli Army could be a model for America as far as the integration of women into the military, General?
It could, and you're right. The women do serve, but interestingly enough, women serve in combat-related units. But when combat begins, they are removed from those units, and reservists fill those positions, male reservists. Is that equality? I don't think so. So there's a limit to what even Israel is doing.
But you're saying more and more occupations within the military are opening up to women.
Amen, Bill, that's right. They're not in infantry yet, but they could be. And I've seen what women can do. For example, when I was commander of the 101st, we had women pilots, women head of maintenance units, military police, and the women maintenance people were better than the men because they would ask questions. I don't know how to do this. The men would try to get in and fix something in an aviation vehicle or engine and break it because they didn't follow the rules. Women were probably as good or better than men as mechanics, and they were as good as better than men as military police, and the same as pilots. They were as good as better than men in flying helicopters. We had 500 helicopters in the 101st.
General John Wickham, we're going to let you go here so you can go on to your activities, and you keep very busy. And did you do any of the bicycling today?
Oh, yeah. Every day the good Lord lets me get up on the bike, I'll keep it up.
And how many miles are you down to or at?
Oh, right? I try to do 6 a day.
6 miles a day on the bike, and that is very great. And, of course, you just turned, I believe, 87?
87, right.
Wow. General Wickham, you are amazing, and you're a great contributor to our community and a great contributor to this program. Whether people agree with you or not, it is always interesting to hear your point of view, and we thank you again for all your service. Thank you, General Wickham.
Thanks very much, Bill. God bless.
General John Wickham here on the Buckmaster Show, and we want to tell you that this afternoon we have more local talk coming up. We pride ourselves on having a lot of local talk here on KVOI. Certainly on the weekends, we pretty much go wall to wall with local programs. Then during the weekdays, we've got this program, The Buckmaster Show, at 12:04 each afternoon. Then at 4 to 5, it's Mike Shaw, his show for Tucson at 4. And then we do 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson, actually 2 hours, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double from 8 to 9 with Chris DeSimone and a different guest host every day. So lots of local talk right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And remember, we'll have the podcasts of today's show and all of our shows on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. On behalf of Ed Alexander, who does such a great job on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and we'll look for you at 12:04 tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.